Greeting unto the Lord. It is the 10th day of July in the year of our Lord 2020. You are listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading, produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. I pray this as a podcast is a blessing to you. Before we begin, I would like to apologize for missing the last couple of days. We had some issues with our air conditioning in our house and some other maintenance issues that had to be taken care of right away. So I was not able to get to the podcast for the last couple of days. But I'm going to try to get back on the normal schedule Monday through Friday. From time to time, things arise and I'm not able to get to a certain day of the week. It'll be no sweat. We'll just continue whatever happens after that. But the normal schedule will be Monday through Friday. With that in mind, let us begin. Our call to faith and to repentance today comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 through 25. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. There was no shame in the beginning. Sin had not entered in. Man and wife shared a union without any shame. They could have their nakedness exposed to each other without shame because their union was pure and sinless. When they sinned, they brought not only enmity between them and God, but between each other. Their sin brought shame, and their shame had to be covered. Over the next few episodes, we're going to be looking at, in particular, the biblical teaching on modesty, especially as it relates to clothing. You know, in one article, Fashion Insider admitted that the fashion industry has been copying the look of prostitutes for over a century. In the article, the fashion industry admits that they copy hookers. And when they do so, the hooker then has to become more brazen in order to stand out, which leads then to the next round of fashion being more immodest. The cycle feeds itself, which is why you can find pictures of prostitutes in the 1900s more clothed than most women today. This issue of modesty is one that fathers need to be certainly aware of and need to have in their mind the biblical standards. And so, as I said, over the next few days, the next few episodes, we'll be looking through different scripture passages, pulling out principles that deal with clothing, deal with modesty of our hearts, because this is first and primarily a heart issue. But we'll be looking at what is the biblical standard for modesty and for clothing. And so, today, we'll just begin with that very idea that we've already talked about, which is the idea of shame not being in the beginning. There was pure just happiness and peace between man and woman. They were both naked and were not ashamed. But sin interrupted that, and so their shame had to be covered. Clothing represents to us this idea of covering of our shame. It is God who covers our shame. And so before we ever begin looking at the standards for modesty and all these things, let us first come to the Lord now, at this time, and acknowledge that we are products of the fall. We are those who have been born in sin and born with much shame. And we have sinned of our own, which has shamed us before God. The only hope that we have now is if we were to come to Him and ask Him to give us His mercy. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from You in Your ways like lost sheep. We have offended against Your holy laws. We've fallen too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We've left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. and there's no health in us, but only shame that we cannot cover. We need you to cover for us. And the only cover, Lord, is the blood of Jesus Christ. What clothing represents and reminds us of how you robe us in holy attire, Lord, we pray that you make true in our hearts. Spare us, God, as we confess our faults. Restore us as we are repentant, according to your promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we pray, most merciful Father, that you would grant for his sake that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Brothers, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 105, verse 16 through 36. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. And he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him, the ruler of the peoples, and set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions, to imprison his princes at will, that he might teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt. Thus Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he caused his people to be very fruitful, and made them stronger than their adversaries. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his wondrous acts among them, and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his words. He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came a swarm of flies and gnats in all their territory. He gave them hell for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck down their vines also and their fig trees, and shattered the trees of their territory. He spoke, and locust came, and young locust, even without number, and ate up all vegetation in their land, and ate up the fruit of their ground. He also struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first fruits of all their vigor. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. O glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." Therefore, listen to the Old Testament reading from the book of Judges, chapter 21, through Ruth, chapter 1. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Now, the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "None of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin in marriage." So the people came to Bethel and sat there before God until evening, and lifted up their voices and wept bitterly. They said, "Why, O Lord God of Israel, has this come about in Israel, so that one tribe should be missing today in Israel?" It came about the next day that the people arose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then the sons of Israel said, "Who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up in the assembly to the Lord?" For they had taken a great oath concerning him who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, "He shall surely be put to death." And the sons of Israel were sorry for their brother Benjamin and said, "One tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage?" And they said, "What one is there of the tribes of Israel who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah? And behold, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. For when the people were numbered, behold, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead were there. And the congregation sent 12,000 of the valiant warriors there and commanded them, saying, 'Go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the little ones. This is the thing you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every man and every woman who has lain with a man.' And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him. And they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Then the whole congregation sent word and spoke to the sons of Benjamin, who were at the rock of Rimmon, and proclaimed peace to them. Benjamin returned at that time, and they gave them the woman who they had kept alive from the women of Jabesh Gilead, yet there were not enough for them. And the people were sorry for Benjamin, because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" They said, "There must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, so that a tribe will not be blotted out from Israel. But we cannot give them wives of our daughters." For the sons of Israel had sworn, saying, "Cursed is he who gives a wife to Benjamin." So they said, "Behold, there is a feast of the Lord from year to year in Shiloh, which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south side of Lebanon." And they commanded the sons of Benjamin, saying, "Go and lie in wait in the vineyards and watch. And behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to take part in the dances, then you shall come out of the vineyards, and each of you shall catch his wife from the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. It shall come about, when their fathers or their brothers come to complain to us, that we shall say to them, 'Give them to us voluntarily, because we did not take for each man of Benjamin a wife in battle, nor did you give them to them, else you would now be guilty.'" The sons of Benjamin did so, and took wives according to their number from those who danced, whom they carried away. And they went and returned to their inheritance, and rebuilt the cities and lived in them. The sons of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family, and each one of them went out from there to his inheritance. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the women were bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-laws, that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the land of the Lord has gone forth against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything, but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. O God, make speed to save us. Brothers, the Apostle Paul gave thanks for those who received the word of God, saying, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is work in you believers." Therefore, listen to the New Testament reading from the book of John, chapter 4, verse 43 through 54. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. After the 2 days, he went forth from there into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So, when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. As he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea in Galilee. This is the word of God, and we give thanks to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verses 11 through 20. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. like apples of gold and settings of silver, is a word spoken in right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and the ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. By forbearance a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need, that you not have it in excess and vomit it. Let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become weary of you and hate you. Like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. Like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. Like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda, is he who sings songs to a troubled heart. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. Life-giving God, quicken me to call upon thy name. For my mind is ignorant, my thoughts vagrant, my affections earthly, my heart unbelieving. And only the Spirit can help my infirmities. I approach thee as Father and friend, my portion forever, my exceeding joy, my strength of heart. I believe in thee as the God of nature, the ordainer of providence, the sender of Jesus, my Savior. My guilty fears discourage and approach to thee, but I praise thee for the blessed news that Jesus reconciles thee to me. May the truth that is in him illuminate in me all that is dark, establish in me all that is wavering, comfort in me all that is wretched, accomplish in me all that is of thy goodness, and glorify in me the name of Jesus. I pass through a veil of tears, but bless thee for the opening gate of glory at its end. Enable me to realize as mine the better heavenly country. Prepare me for every part of my pilgrimage. Uphold my steps by thy word. Let no iniquity dominate me. Teach me that Christ cannot be the way if I am the end, that he cannot be Redeemer if I am my own Savior, that there can be no true union with him while the creature has my heart, that faith accepts him as Redeemer and Lord or not at all. Lord, teach us these things, we beseech thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, brothers, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you all. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you.